You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Welcome back, folks. Just another reminder, today and tomorrow are the last 2 days of early voting for the election that's going to be held on October 11th. Got a bunch of big races as it relates to the governance of this city. And joining us right now is Clancy Dubose, political editor and columnist for Gambit and WWL Louisiana political analyst. Clancy, good to hear your voice. Welcome
to
the show.
Thank you, Newell. Always honored to be on. I got to correct one thing. I have retired from Gambit and the Times-Picayune. So
oh, okay.
It's just WWL.
Just WWL. Well, I'll scratch that out. Two down and one to go.
Something like that. Yeah.
Clancy, you and I over the years, we've talked a lot about races. They always have interesting little twists and turns and little caveats that are there. We have 11 candidates, I think it is, for the office of mayor here in the city of New Orleans. Anything that you find particularly unique about this race or odd or a nuance that you'd like to share?
Well, one of the things that I learned a long time ago from one of my mentors, Jim Carvin, who was a media consultant who elected 6 or 7 New Orleans mayors in a row, was every election is a unique event. And that is certainly true of this one. It reminds me a little bit of Mitch Landrieu's race for mayor in the one that he won in 2010, when, although he got in late, relatively speaking, he was the front runner throughout. And that is what we've seen with Helena Moreno, although she, unlike Mitch in 2010, this year, Helena Moreno was the first candidate to announce rather than the last candidate to announce. And her support has been consistently between 46 or 47% and 53%. And I'm talking raw numbers in the polls. So if you factor out the undecided, she's had a majority of the decided vote in all of the polls. Now, having said that, I will quickly add one very important point. Polls are not predictions, and the only poll that matters is the one that concludes on election day. In fact, that poll is, and this is a metaphor, it's in the field right now, as you pointed out, that we got 2 days left of early voting, and then we have voting on election day, October 11th, which is a week from tomorrow. So, you know, that's the only poll that really counts. And I've often quote Woody Allen, who said that 90% of life is showing up, and that's a good rule. But Clancy's rule is, in politics, 100% of it is showing up, as in voting. So if you don't vote, and I remember Avery Alexander, as long as I'm quoting people, the late Reverend Avery Alexander, a tremendous civil rights leader, used to tell his congregation, if you don't vote, don't squawk. You know, so
yep.
Very true words. Anyway, that's what's interesting about this particular mayor's race. It's rare for us to I won't say it's unusual, because in many other previous mayor's races, a candidate often would get in late, like Royce. Late's not the right word, but towards the, you know, later than others, and surge from third place or fourth place into first place. Ray Nagin did that. LaToya Cantrell, not that she got in late, but she was in third place for much of the campaign, and she wound up surging into first place late in the game. That hasn't happened this time, although the voters could change that. But it's not showing up in any of the polls so far.
Have you been surprised that neither Royce nor Oliver, and I'm one that believes that Oliver always underpolls. He seems to have a history of that.
Yes.
That they have not moved in the polls. They've been, it's been kind of static, and that's been weird to watch that.
Yeah, but it's also a reflection of the fact that, you know, Oliver has one, you know, elephant in the room, his conviction for bribery charges, and I'm not trying to throw that at him. It's what voters, it's in the minds of voters, and it's not spoken often, but when in private conversations, voter would say, I love Oliver, but, you know, kind of thing. And Royce Duplessis is well known in his Senate district, but he is still not that well known citywide. He's becoming better and better known. But his campaign has taken on kind of an edgy, almost angry tone. And to some voters, that's a turnoff. But also, give credit where it's due. You know, and I don't ever endorse candidates, but I got to call it like it is. Helena Moreno has had more, about twice as much money as all the other candidates put together, maybe more than that. And she has run a very good campaign, and she has, she's very well known, as is Oliver, and she doesn't have any overarching negative against her. And, you know, she's, people in New Orleans feel like they know her, and they feel like they know Oliver. They're getting to know Royce Duplessis. And those are the three main candidates, and it just hasn't changed. Moreno hasn't stumbled or made any big mistakes or even small ones. And the one issue that Duplessis is trying to hang on her, I don't think is sticking. You know, this email by Bill Hammack, which only went to two people, one of them being Royce Duplessis. And it's an issue that voters, when they hear it, like, okay, what is that about, kind of thing, you know? And
right.
I'm talking to educated people, people sophisticated politically, still are like, okay, but what is this about? You know, what, I don't understand this, you know? So they just haven't been able to tag her. And when you have somebody out front who's way out front, you have to tag that person. It's just the nature of the game. Or you have to have a stroke of extreme good luck if the front runner somehow makes a colossal mistake. And that hasn't happened here.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This is going to, this will sound strange when I say it to begin with. I think Helena has actually benefited from Donald Trump. And in this respect, she always presents with a very high sense of civility. You know, she,
that's true.
And I think folks are tired of even folks that support Donald Trump and like Donald Trump, like his policies, they're tired of the caustic nature of delivering, you know, points that he's making and even policy, you know, announcing of policy decisions. And I think they're really looking for something that's kind of toned down, that's a lot more intellectual approach. And I think she seems to have, even before, you know, Donald taking office this time, has always approached government in that fashion. I think she's being rewarded for it. Your thoughts?
I totally agree. I hadn't put it in Trump terms, but and I would add two quick points. One, I think Oliver also, look at the tone of his campaign and his ads, and he also is approaching it that way. Royce is a little angrier and, you know, kind of in your face. When a lot of people, and I'm not trying to dump on Royce, you know, when my wife and I owned Gambit, the paper endorsed Royce. You know, and he was somebody that I'm hearing a lot of people say, you know, this doesn't sound like the Royce I know. But, you know, sometimes you have to take on a different suit of armor in a campaign, and maybe that's what his advisors are telling him, and that's what we're seeing. But I don't get the sense that it's working. The other thing I wanted to say, I totally agree with you. I think Oliver Thomas under polls, and in the last two polls that I saw, he had gone back into second place ahead of Duplessis. And so if there is a runoff, and I don't make predictions, but if there is a runoff, I think it's more likely that it would be between Oliver and Helena than between Royce and Helena. We'll just have to see what the voters decide. But I agree with you. He under polls. I think he's going to do better than he is showing up in the polls.
I think it's worked out that way for him almost every election he's ever been in.
Yes.
If my memory serves me correct.
That's correct.
And it's just kind of interesting, you know, going back to that civility factor, it's not like it's newfound. It's pretty much been the way that she's conducted herself the entire time she's been on the council, which at times can be very caustic.
Yes. In fact, it's you know, one, and I think that's one reason why the initial criticism of her that was lodged against her, again, by the Duplessis campaign, that, you know, this division on the council, even in the midst of the council's disagreements with the mayor, she always struck a very civil tone.
Yeah.
You know? And I think you're right. That hadn't occurred to me. That's a very good point, very interesting, but I totally agree with you. I think people, without even vocalizing it, it's just like she seems, and this is not the right word maybe, but they feel, well, here's what I'm struggling to say. There's a comfort level with her among voters.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say safe, but that sounds too namby-pamby, but there's a comfort level. And again, she has worked, as has Oliver, by the way. Both of them have toiled in the vineyards. They've been out there in the churches, at the community events, at the, going to the neighborhood association meetings, going to the fairs and stuff, all along. They didn't just start doing that when they announced for mayor. These are people that, those two candidates, citywide, are people that folks have seen in the coffee shop, and they walk up to them and talk to them. Whereas, I'm not faulting Duplessis. He had a district. He was like that in his Senate district, but he's not. He hasn't done that citywide. And when he dropped out of the race or announced he wasn't going to run last November or so, sometime around there, and then in very late June decided he was going to get back in, he had a lot of ground to make up in a very short period of time, and without enough money to get a message out there, it's physically and politically impossible for him to catch up to the name recognition and comfort level among voters that voters have had for Oliver Thomas and Helena Moreno.
Yeah. You know, it's probably easier for me, Clancy, to recognize it because I was the opposite when I was an elected official.
No, you were plain spoken, you know. And you probably really like me when you have a conversation with someone who doesn't really know you. And I always have to say, listen, I tend to be blunt, but I do so in the interest of clarity, not to try to be overbearing or forceful. I just want to be clear, okay? So please forgive me. And you and I have never had a problem communicating because we both do it the same way.
Right, right.
We've always understood each other.
So here we are, October 3rd, right? And the election is now 8 days away. Mm-hmm. What do you think the front runner, obviously, you know, their goal is always don't do anything to hurt yourself. And the other two need to do something to shake up the race.
Yeah. And it's, you know, at this point in the game, probably upwards of, I haven't checked the latest figures, but, you know, in previous races, the minimum of 20%, sometimes closer to 30% of the votes get cast early. So they're running out of time to make a difference, you know? If by the close of business tomorrow, by 6 p.m. tomorrow, if 25% of the voters who are going to vote have cast ballots already, that's a huge swath of votes that it's already over. The game's over for them. And in the last week of most campaigns, I mean, it would take something like an indictment, not that anybody's investigating any of the three leading contenders, but it would take something with that kind of monumental, holy smoke kind of impact among voters to change things. But it'd take a bombshell of some sort, you know, metaphorically speaking, of course, but I've not seen that happen. And typically when one candidate announces what he or she thinks is a bombshell, people tend to go, sounds like a last minute desperate attack. So I think, you know, at this point, the candidates, and I've talked to a couple of them, they're all focusing on reminding the people that they believe through polling and research are their voters, reminding them to vote early and then reminding them to vote on Saturday, a week from tomorrow. That's really what it's all about. It's all about turnout now.
I know that there's always pundits that are projecting what they think the ultimate turnout is going to be. What are you hearing?
Well, I've heard that they're projecting around 35%. I've been saying that I hope it's at least 40%, just because I think I'm always in favor of bigger turnouts. It's good for democracy. Yeah, that's what it is. That's, you know, that's the only personal endorsement I ever make is voting for democracy. Just do that. Whatever the outcome is, you know, at my age and up to 53 plus years of doing this, I'm always feel like no matter who wins, we'll be fine, you know, ultimately. So
How would you characterize 35%? For me, I think it's abysmal.
Yeah, well, if you look at it's not a healthy turnout. You know, we have, I said this on Channel 4 earlier this week, that the turnouts when you and I were coming up, I remember when Dutch Morial ran, we'd have turnouts above 75%. But we didn't have universal registration back then. And the people who weren't registered back then typically were the people who just weren't engaged politically at all. Now we have almost universal registration, but we don't have universal give a darn. That's the way I put it on Channel 4. But I also think that less people are engaged now than were back in the 70s and early 80s.
You know,
and that's a shame.
What's always
a less percentage, a lower percentage. And we have, of course, we have fewer voters, but it's the percentage that's so dismal.
Yeah.
You know, I think the last time we came close to 50% turnout, I think Mark Morial ran for mayor in 94. We had somewhere in the high 40s in the turnout, maybe 50%. You know, and that was a spirited campaign with good candidates and, you know, that's because that kind of, when you factor in the 30 or 40% who were disengaged all along, that's not bad, you know? So, but still 35 is just too low. We don't, it should not be that we have almost two thirds of the registered voters who just don't give a darn enough to go out and vote. That speaks very badly about the level of engagement and civic engagement among the voters. And who was, I don't know if it was Jefferson or some famous founding father said, in a democracy, you get the government you deserve.
Yeah. What always surprised me is how much larger, and it was a huge turnout in the city for the presidential election. And I remind folks, you know, the president is not likely to move your life one degree right or left. It's all about local politics. When you yep. want to talk about quality of life, there's nothing coming from Washington that's going to really significantly impact you. But it's everything coming from the mayor's office or the parish president's office or the respective councils.
Exactly. And the courts.
And the courts, yeah. Local courts, more so than any other, right?
Exactly. Right, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting. And folks just don't connect the dots sometimes. It's just somewhat frustrating for me. I mean, I just...
It is. And I know you preach it all the time. It goes back to something that Tip O'Neill famously said, all politics is local, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we will sit tight for the next coming days until October the 11th to see what actually turns out. The big question, I guess, right now for the Helena Moreno campaign, can she pull it out in the first? I think it's a real difficult thing to do. You got 11 candidates. It's not always easy to do that.
And there's 12 of them on the ballot. Arthur Hunter's name is still on the ballot.
Yeah.
And he might get some votes. They won't be counted, I believe, but in terms of who gets a majority. And I'll have to double-check the law on that. It may have changed, but in the old days, yep. I'm at that age where I keep saying in the old days.
I feel your pain, my friend.
Yeah. We'll talk about our pains when we have lunch. That's what old men do, right?
Absolutely.
But previously, if someone was on the ballot who had withdrawn, the votes were not counted. They were cast, but they were discarded in determining whether a majority was reached. We'll have to see if that's still the case.
Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Truly appreciate it.
Always a pleasure.
Always enjoy the conversation with you, Clancy Dubose. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland-Art Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.